Hello and welcome to the Lofty Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Tanisha Coffey, aka the Lofty Entrepreneur. Thanks for joining me. As always, we are providing the best tools, tips, advice, and inspiration for aspiring and new entrepreneurs out there. So if you haven't already done so, click now to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Now, today's show is part of a special series I'm doing with some of the authors of the book Invisible No More, Invincible Forevermore. Today's guest is no stranger to overcoming the challenges she faces and taking on challenges that most would quickly shy away from, like climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and competing in triathlons. Don't let the small 4'10" stature fool you, because health and life coach Cecilia Rankin is truly a force to be reckoned with. Thanks so much for joining me today, Cecilia. How are you?
Good, Tanisha. Thank you for having me on today. I'm so excited to see you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm excited about this book you have coming out. This is one of the first books you've written, right?
Yes. Yes. I've been wanting to be an author. And so when I got to meet Linda Sunshine West in Clubhouse, I was really excited when she invited me to be one of the authors in her book. Mm-hmm. So this is like a segue for me. I'm hoping I'll write a book about myself, a full book someday.
Right, right. So what moved you to even want to tell the story? Now, I don't want you to give it away. Okay, for all you guys out there, you have to actually go get the book to hear her full story. But what made you want to even participate in this particular book? Because I mean, you could have done it on your own. You could have participated in a lot of other books, but what was it that resonated with you and the goal and the purpose of this book that made you say, this is the one for me to share a little piece of me with the world?
Well, that's a really good question, Tanisha. I think it was the title that Linda told me about, Invisible No More. I'm like, you know what? I always felt invisible for many years as a child. And then Invincible Forevermore. I'm like, you know what? That's me. I am invincible now. And so, you know, it was very hard for me to write the 6-page. It was very emotional for me because my childhood, I just struggled with it. It was really, really awful. And so I, you know, I just cried and cried, but I kept writing and writing. So anyway, I just basically wanted to show people that if you stay positive and surround yourself with positive people and get to know really nice people like you, Tanisha, you can overcome a lot of things. You know, there's support out there for you to overcome your struggles and make your life a better one. Like I tell my students, I'm a teacher. I tell my students, yeah, it's like, you know what? It's hard to be a child. It's hard because you're at the mercy of adults. That was me as a kid. But once you turn 18, you get to move on. You get to make different choices. You get to make better choices. You can become better. You know, you can overcome so many things as an adult. And so that's what I try to teach my students now. And I just hope that this book will inspire people to become an inspiration for younger adults and young children. And so that was my goal. Right. And I work with immigrants. Okay. And being an immigrant myself, I just wanted to show immigrants that, you know what, you can overcome hurdles.
Right, right. So when you were saying it was hard to write your chapter, was it that, I know for a lot of people, a lot of the authors in this book, they're coming from a deeply personal place. And they're telling stories that some people even in, you know, their fairly close inner circle don't know about them. So again, don't want to give everything away, kind of give a high level kind of concept of what your chapter, I know what the message you want people to take away, but some of the things that you touch upon in that chapter. And I kind of want to know how the experience was after you finished. You know, how you felt about it after finishing writing the chapter?
Well, you know, I've told a lot of my friends my story. So they were really happy that I wrote my chapter. And so basically, my story is about being adopted and the struggles I went through being an adopted person from Vietnam, and how my birth parents I don't know the reason why they gave me away, but I remember them. And so that was basically my story. And I didn't write everything because I only had 6 pages. So I mean, my story can go on. And anyway, it's just, it's something that it's kind of a healing process when you write it down, because I had never written it down. Mm-hmm. I have just like verbally kind of talked about it to some friends, but I didn't tell everything, you know. I would tell like bits and pieces over the years,
right?
But then actually writing it down actually was quite healing. And so writing your story, I think, is very important.
Right. And what's interesting about it is that a lot of people, I know I'm in one of Linda's other books, participate in one of her other books, The Fearless Entrepreneurs. And I know for me, writing my chapter was not so much challenging, but it did feel a little bit awkward, because it's like, you're vulnerable. You become vulnerable as soon as you start putting those words on the paper. And then, you know, once you release it, it's out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I definitely commend you, because I know I can, you know, tell just even seeing you kind of, you know, react as we're talking now, that I can see you going back to that space, that time that you speak about in the story. So, you know, so for those of you, you know, once you get a copy of the book, you know, just be ready, you know, because this is meant to, these are true. This is fact, not fiction. But to see where the people, the authors in these books have started and where they've come from and the challenges they've overcome is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I know that you talked about being a teacher, and you know, just kind of, I mean, that smile is everything. That this is everything about, you know, kind of how you feel about it. When you see, because I know my mother and father were teachers. And so I know that sometimes, I know how close teachers can get to students, how, you know, it can go beyond just, you know, the classroom, you know, learn this, learn that, you know, teachers really get to know their students and their stories. And so what things did you pull from your life that you're using now as a teacher to help kind of those students that you see are having those same challenges, some of the same challenges that you may have had? You know, what things do you kind of pull to help them along to maybe make their experience a little less traumatic or daunting, you know, than your experience?
Yeah, that's a really good question. One of the things I feel so important when I teach is to give my students hugs, because you don't know what kind of day they or morning they had at home or what kind of evening they had. And when a child is not ready to learn, you know, there's no use battling with them. And if a child is sleepy, is tired, let them sleep, because something might have happened at home where they could not sleep well. Mm-hmm. And so why battle with a child to stay awake, you know, and try to get down to the reason why a child is tired or why the child is having a hard time learning. And one of the questions I ask my kids when they're having a bad day, I'll say, what happened mm-hmm. to you? Not, why are you acting like this?
Right.
What's the matter with you? No, it's not about what's the matter with you. What happened to you for you to feel this way or act like this? And so my heart goes out to kids. And I just think, you know, we're trying to create a better world. And to create a better world, we got to start with the kids. Right. We want the kids to be good adults. And we want them to transfer the love and the kindness and respect all over the world, you know, and to become nurturing and not be mean and not to be a bully. Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, there's always a reason why a child is a bully. And there's always a reason why a child is mean. And so, you know, if you can get to the root of that, I think we can help them.
Right. And I know some of that, you know, just in thinking kind of through the basic concepts, again, knowing my parents as teachers and some of the students that they helped and that I knew about, you know, some of that does come from kind of the notion like the book. As children, you know, it used to be, be seen but not heard. You know, that's really, really old kind of way of thinking. However, we do still kind of treat children in that way in our society where it's, yes, yeah, you're there and I see you, but you're a child. So the things that you're doing, the things that you want, the things that you need, they take, second fiddle to, maybe an adult. And so, they don't always get asked those questions that help them to release those emotions and to help them to kind of cope. You know, people forget that, they're a child, they're young, they don't know everything, they don't understand everything, but they are still people and they are still kind of dealing with a lot of the same things that you're dealing with just on a age appropriate level.
Exactly. So. Yeah. They don't have the vocabulary to explain it. They don't understand why they're feeling what they're feeling. They just know they feel yucky that day.
Yeah. And they don't know why. And they don't always have the capacity to verbalize it or to expel that energy, those feelings in a more quote unquote appropriate way, which adults would say, we measure that based on what we would do, not what we did when we were their age, because what they're doing is probably exactly what we did. So I definitely commend you for taking that vantage point, with the children, because I think a lot of times people don't. They react. They don't think about what could be happening, what could be the cause of the effect that they're seeing or experiencing with students. So thank you for that. Thank you for being that teacher that goes beyond and sees that. I want to switch gears a little bit, because not only are you an author and a teacher, but you are also a health and life coach. And this is a new venture for you. You are a new entrepreneur. So,
yes, I sure am.
So I want to say congratulations to you for that, because that's a huge, huge, jump to take. So I want to know, what made you decide you wanted to become an entrepreneur and then specifically to go into health and life coaching?
Well, it begins with a story. Seems like every new chapter in your life has a story. So I decided to become a health coach just a little over a year ago. But my body transformation has been a long journey, actually. So, when I was pregnant with my son, I was gestational diabetic, and my doctor said, oh, you're going to become diabetic. You're going to have type 2 diabetes sometime in your 40s. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? And so then in my late 30s, I had Crohn's. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. I was starting to feel joint pains. I started getting high cholesterol. Actually, I had pre-symptoms for type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And so luckily for me, one of my friends asked me to be in the triathlon with her. And I'm like, yes, I'll do that, because that'll force me to get in shape, because I'm very goal oriented. Mm-hmm. So I trained hard. And then that was in 2010 when I started training for races. So every year I was doing races starting in 2010. And then in 2016, I decided to join her in a marathon. And so, but then I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can run 26.4 miles. So I better start reading about it. So I started reading about nutrition. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need a lot to learn about nutrition. I had so many misconceptions, and that's why I could not get healthier. I still had my diseases, my symptoms. I was still overweight. And even though with all the training and races I was doing, I just was not getting my body the way I wanted. And I just thought, I was in the mind frame, okay, this is it. My body wants to be this way. I can't do anything about it. Mm. And so anyway, so once I started researching, actually, I would start getting up at 4 a.m, starting researching about eating and all that. And I discovered I had so many bad habits. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to start doing this, this, and this. I got to start getting on the path of good habits and blah, blah, blah. And once I did, my weight came off. I'm just, and then.
Okay. Wait, hold on.
Oh my gosh.
Cause right now you're revealing the Holy Grail. You know, a lot of us have these health problems. So I want to know, what were you doing? You know, what were some of the things, maybe three or four things that you remember that you were like, okay, these were huge pieces of my puzzle, you know, your puzzle of, you know, what was stopping you from being able to get healthier. I want to know what were those three or four things, and then what shift did you make?
Okay. So number one, it's true. Drink water. You know, I would treat myself once in a while way back then, like a nice body massage. And the massage therapist would always say, you need to drink more water. I'm like, I'm already drinking water. What the heck? And she'd hand me a bottle of water. I'm like, and of course I never finished it. You know, I just take a few swig and toss it, right? And so once I started drinking more water, I started feeling better. And my skin was starting to look better. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. So that's one thing I coach my clients on. I get them gradually increasing their water intake and teaching them how they can do that too. And then another misconception is, oh, I'm burning all of these calories by exercising, so I get to make up by it. No, that's not what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was doing that. You know, I'm like, oh, great. I exercised. I must have burned like 2,000 calories today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Okay. I could eat all of the food.
The overestimation. You're like, yeah. I walked a whole mile, so I deserve this pack of cookies.
Exactly. And so then I had to get that out of my head. And then just the kind of food I was eating, I had to. I tell my clients, it's minimizing it. You're not going to eliminate it, because that's the problem with yo-yo dieting. They cut you off with certain stuff, and then you lose the weight, and then you get off the diet, and then you start back at those bad habits. It's like, no. I am going to help you get on these healthy habits that are sustainable for life. That is my key right there. Sustainable for life, that when you wake up, you automatically start drinking water right away. When I get up in the morning, I just drink my water. It's like, that's a good habit right there.
Right.
And doing certain stretches, and my body can't sit for too long to watch TV anymore. I used to be able to sit and go to movies. I can't stand movie theaters anymore because I sit too much. Mm-hmm. And because I learned to move my body and do certain stretches. And I love watching TV at home, because then I can sit on the floor and do stretches and exercises and still watch my favorite shows, you know, but I don't sit as long anymore. Now you can see, you interview me, I'm standing.
Right.
You know, so I've learned, like, you know, when as a teacher, when I had to remote teach, I learned just to stand and do exercises. You know, for staff meetings and stuff.
Yeah. Stay mobile. Keep moving.
Yep, exactly.
So yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And so when you're standing, you know, even if you're on camera, you can't tell somebody's moving their legs. Like, I'm moving my legs right now, you know, and sometimes I'll go like this, you know, like kind of like stretching, but you know, people don't mind you doing that. But yeah, anyway.
So I want to know, because a lot of people, you know, when they're younger, you know, exercising is not really something they're focusing on doing. And it's not mm-hmm. until people hit their, like you were talking about, their 30s and their 40s and their 50s, that suddenly the things that they used to be able to do, they can't do anymore. The things they used to be able to eat, they can't eat anymore. Yeah. But is that really the case that they can't, or is it more so they need to, you know, for instance, the movement, you know, you start getting, you know, people start getting stiff and things like that. And your mind says, oh, I'm getting stiff. That hurts. I need to stop moving.
Exactly.
But is that really what should people be doing?
Nope. And you know, when people tell me they're in pain or whatever, I have gentle exercises that I tell them to do. And all my clients have lost 10 or more pounds in 90 days. And so I have different programs. And so I can do a month or whatever. And I do have a free How to Kick the Sugar Habit workshop
for people.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, and people just at that workshop and they follow through my suggestions, they will lose weight. I have helped out 3 people this summer with just that workshop, and they will text me, "Oh my gosh, I've lost weight because I've cut down on my sugar and blah, blah, blah." And my one friend who was diagnosed as type 2 diabetes this summer.
Mm. Yes.
Symptoms went away once I told her about sugar.
Oh my goodness.
And she was like so happy. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that was free, you know? So, I mean, I have so many tips. I love helping people out. That is me. I just love it. And then I even say, you know what? If you can't afford it, let's figure out how you can afford it. And this is what I can do for you.
Right.
And so I make it affordable. I think being healthy should be across the board. It should be for everybody. Even if you don't make much money, it should be for everybody. And so, and I also teach, oh my gosh, I've discovered something this summer too, Tadesha. I have leveled up into my health. I have discovered essential oils.
Oh yes.
My God. That is like, so I am eliminating chemicals in my house. That's how I'm leveling up to the next level of health. I create my own bug spray. I live in Minnesota, so there are tons of bugs here. So I create my own chemical-free bug spray, chemical-free spray for cleaning the kitchen, the countertops and all that. Mm-hmm. And it smells fabulous. I'm not afraid to use it in the house. It's just wonderful. I love it. And I can get people on, you know, I can get people 20 to 25% off on oils if they're interested. And so anyway, it's just, I just love it.
So this whole shift, it sounds like it kind of snowballed for you. You know, you first of all, there was the mind shift where you decided, okay, this is not okay, the things that are happening, I want to do something about it. And then it sounds like you went into kind of the obsession mode where you're like, I gotta know, which is good. You know, people think the word obsession is a bad word. And I think when it's with the right things, it's absolutely not, because of the, think about the knowledge you gain and then the impact of that knowledge that you had with your health. So, and then I think it's pretty amazing to then take those skills and then turn it into a business. And I talk to people all the time about the fact that all of us have skills. Some of them are innate, some of them are learned, but we all have skills and knowledge. And just because we know it or we learned it, you know, or maybe we've always, you know, certain things we've always known or always done, or they come easy to us, we forget that there are other people who may want to learn or know those things, and that has value. And, you know, so for those of you listening, if you're thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, think about all the things you've learned about Cecilia today, you know, starting out an immigrant, coming to this country, being adopted, going through several challenges, you know, in her childhood and then in her, you know, adulthood with her, you know, health and things of that nature. To becoming a teacher that now inspires, to becoming a life and health coach that is now helping to change people's lives, all because of her not giving up and for her taking the knowledge and skills that she has and pouring it back into others. So for those of you listening, think about that. How can you guys do those, you know, similar things? What skills do you have? What knowledge do you have that can help someone else? Entrepreneurs, the best entrepreneurs are those who figure out problems that other people have, and they use their skills and knowledge to help them solve problems. That's all entrepreneurs do, help people solve problems.
Right, exactly.
So that is amazing. Well said. So I, you know, I'm excited to, you know, definitely learn more about it. I definitely want you to, you know, share the link if you would, please, you know, for that workshop, you know, be sure to email that to me so I can put it in the description.
I sure will.
But I want people to be able to get in contact with you if they're interested in working with you, because, you know, I think the affordability factor is huge. I think the successes that you've had is huge. And, you know, a lot of people, especially, you know, that pandemic hit a lot of people the wrong way, you know, can certainly help. So how can people get in contact with you?
Yes, they can email me, and it should be easy to remember. Health Coaching Forever, but the four is the number four. But I think you still can get to me if you spelled out the word four. But anyway, it's the number four. healthcoachingforever@gmail.com. Okay, so that's where they can email me. And I will email you my contact phone number. I have a business phone number, and it's new, so I don't have it memorized. Sorry.
No worries.
And then I will email you my business website and my contact number where people can get a hold of me. And yes, I am like looking forward to hearing from people. And I'm hoping there are a lot of people out there that are inspired to get in shape and help others. Because like what I tell students, every single person has a gift. Maybe you haven't discovered your gift yet. It's the power of yet. So we all have a gift. And please, once you discovered your gift, share it with the world and just shine.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing your gifts with us today, the knowledge that we've gained, the inspiration. This has been an amazing chat, so I truly appreciate you. And for those of you who are listening and watching, please share this podcast with other people, because I am sure that they would like to be inspired and get those health tips as well. So please do share, please do like and subscribe, and come back next time.